What you see before you is a diagram referred to as the spectrum of flavors. Its subtitle is Zoning of the Flavors in Relation to Edibility. This diagram is a hypothesis that I have made that essentially the tastes or the flavors of plants relate to the effect that they create. And therefore, by understanding what a plant tastes like, we will have an indication of its likely effect. When I first started making this diagram, I wanted to map the spectrum of flavors in relation to most poisonous to most edible. And so my first thought was to do it as a linear diagram, but when I thought about it, it would make more sense to do it as a circular diagram with the most edible in the middle and the most poisonous at the outer edge. So what you see before you in the middle, where the color is red, reflects the sweet flavor, and that inner circle of the target is zone one. You'll notice the second circle is zone two, the third circle in the center is zone three, and the fourth circle is zone four, and the fifth circle is zone five. And you'll notice that I haven't really colored in the very center of the target, because I don't think there are any foods that could be considered to be in that place. Every food that we eat, a plant that we eat, will have some harmful effect if we overeat it. But anyway, that main circle is where we're looking to get most of our staple foods from, because they're plants with low toxicity levels and they can be eaten every day. There's no harmful effects from any of those foods, no matter what quantity you eat them, almost. Zone two is what I call seasonal staples. You would eat them regularly, but you wouldn't eat them all year round. You'd eat them when they're in season. And this might refer to things like apples, fruits, berries, roots, carrots, even things like that. Zone three is what I'd refer to as special foods or medicinal foods. And these are foods that we do eat regularly, but we don't eat them in ridiculous quantities. So we might think of things like coriander or cumin or chili even. And as you get the picture, the further out you go, the stronger the medicinal effects become, and the more poisonous they become, and the less we eat them. So zone four might be foods which have a strong effect, like motherwort, or one that people will be more familiar with, things like burdock root or something like that. Thinking about things that we would only take when we want to treat something specific within this kind of category. Tobacco, even. And then in the very outer circle is the poisonous plants, the ones that, even in small amounts, they can be very dangerous. And they're ones that would only be used medically by trained professionals. For example, digitalis from foxglove can be used to when people have had heart attacks. So there are uses to everything. In a more metaphorical way, you could say everything is food. The question is, how much do you eat of it, or how much do you use it? So not only is taste a good identification tool once we've attuned our tastes, but it's also a tool that will give us an indication of what effect the plant that we might have eaten that we don't know what it is going to do to us. I'd like to make it very clear that I don't think this theory, this hypothesis, works very well with mushrooms, because mushrooms can taste quite edible and actually be quite poisonous. So I'd exclude mushrooms from this diagram. But in my experience of working with plants, every plant I've ever tasted that has been poisonous has tasted very poisonous to me. And I'm talking about eating tiny, minute amounts. So this is essentially how I believe people learnt things. And they learnt by tasting and experimenting and getting first-hand experience and you can train your tastes, you can attune your tastes so that quite quickly you know what a poisonous plant even smells like before you've even tasted it. So it's a very useful thing to do. So what I would mention is if you do decide to take this information away and do taste experiments, which I encourage, I would say the first thing is don't rush the process. If you're putting something in your mouth and you don't know what it is, you've got to take tiny amounts. I call it the rule of thumb or rule of thumbnail. So you should never have more than the size of your thumbnail of anything you've never eaten before. And you want to put the plant in on your tongue without chewing it for about a minute or two, just to see if the plant has any effects before you've even chewed it. So don't even swallow, just leave it there, because tiny amounts of the plant we will sense, and sometimes you know straight away that it's not for eating just after leaving it on your tongue. And then you can chew a little bit, it tastes horrible, spit it out, but doing this will begin your body to start to tune itself to certain tastes and what likely effect they're going to have. And also, don't lose your attention to what's going on in your body while you're tasting. It's important to feel all the different sensations over your body, because plants have an after effect. It's like a secondary taste, and that after effect isn't just felt in the mouth or sensed in the mouth. It's actually a feeling that you get over your whole body, and that's all these little indications of what the plant is doing to you. I hope this diagram helps. Happy plant munching.